Why don't you be turning to Isaiah 47. And after you get to Isaiah 47, then turn over to Revelation 18 and put a marker there as well. And that's where we'll begin this evening, is in Revelation. So our text proper is Isaiah 47, and I want to look at the first five verses with you tonight. And this chapter, it deals with the historical destruction of Babylon. But Babylon is a pattern. It represents spiritual Babylon, right? Who of us really cares historically about some kingdom that was destroyed thousands of years ago? But for us who read the scriptures, we know that it represents spiritual Babylon. And whether the kingdom was named Babylon or Assyria or Persia or the Philistines or whoever it was, it doesn't matter. They were always a pattern of the enemies of God. And what spiritual Babylon pictures or what it is, what spiritual Babylon is, it's the kingdom of Satan. And therefore, as we understand, as we see it and we see its works and what it's doing here in the earth, we despise it. We hate it. I hate it. I can't stand the system of Antichrist. And that spirit has been in the world even since the Apostle John said in our day, that in his day, right? It's there. The spirit of Antichrist is here, and it's working mischief and evil in the earth, all right? So scripturally, spiritual Babylon is Satan's kingdom. It's Satan's kingdom, and it's the kingdom that our Lord Jesus Christ is coming to destroy soon. He's coming to destroy. And so the children of God rejoice. They rejoice, especially as we bear the persecution and the ostracization being put out and separated and despised by them and their ways and their people and their kingdoms, right? And so when Christ comes to judge them and justify his saints before them, we rejoice. We rejoice because we won't be ashamed even though they try to shame us. All right, so this kingdom, it's the mother of all kinds of evil that is going on in the earth even to this day. Look at Revelation 18, verses 2, and then we'll look at 3. So Revelation 18, verse 1 tells us that an angel from heaven came down, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Right? Now, the Lord isn't talking about some weird pet shop. He's talking about the spiritual Babylon, the kingdom of Satan. It's coming out of it is every despised, evil, foul, disgusting thing. Right? It's a place of horror, and it's the spirit is throughout, running throughout the world. Right? And so the reason why this is so widely heralded, right, from the heaven. It's not even in the land. It's there in the heavens. It's proclaimed so that everyone under heaven hears and knows what this thing is all about. It's because this kingdom stands opposed to your God. And it stands opposed to the Christ of your God, the one he sent to save his people from their sins. And therefore it stands opposed to you. You saints that believe Christ, that hope in him, this kingdom stands opposed to you, to Christ, and to your God. Understand that, right? When Christ comes to destroy this kingdom, there will be no love lost between us, right? We'll be thankful and rejoicing that he destroys it. And so we're to hear this because verse 3 says, all nations, not a few, all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth, right? The great merchants, the big box stores today, right? All these great corporations and everything of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Right? You wonder, why are things so crazy? Why is everything upside down? Why are the laws that are being pushed through, right? They're not even really ruling by law now. I mean, they feign like they're abiding by the laws or the constitution of their countries, but everything seems to be the exact opposite of what they claim it to be, right? They say that which is darkness is light. That which is light is darkness. That which is evil is good, and that which is good is evil, right? They're just flipping everything around, and you see it at all levels, the legislatures, the rulers, and even the merchants, those that are trafficking there in those nations, all right? So it's a seat of false prophets, all right? And that can be religious. That can even be narratives of a country and a nation, right? It's all kinds of false things. There's hatred that's stirred up between the people so that they can conduct wars. And a lot of times the people are just scratching their head wondering, why are we going to war with these people over here, right? And then there's poverty that goes on and hunger because they just tax their people. They burden their people unnecessarily. All the while, other prices of things are rising. And we see these things going on today, right? In our own day. If you don't see it yet, you'll notice it soon enough that there's taxes coming and the prices of things are just going up, just burdening the people. All right? And so because of her relationship, this kingdom of Antichrist, because of her relationship with the nations of the earth, she's called in our text down at the end of verse 5, you don't have to go there, but you'll see that she's called the Lady of Kingdoms. The Lady of Kingdoms. Sounds so proper, doesn't it? So elegant. So proper there. All right? So like a woman, right, who generally appears to be motherly and caring, generous and sacrificial of herself and her time, the reality of this system is a lie. It doesn't mean you good. It's not doing good for you. It's not taking care of you. And so the very actions, when you see them and understand them, you see they betray who she pretends to be. They're not gracious. They're not kind and generous. There's usually an ulterior motive that may not be obvious to many. So it seems good. But in this text that we're going to be looking at here over in Revelation... over in Isaiah, but just stay there in Revelation for a moment. It's a description of the demise, of the destruction of this Babylon, all right? And so I'm telling you all this because we're to feel no empathy for it. You'll see descriptions where if this were to happen to another nation or to one state over or to one county next to us, if you heard these things happening or one city over from you or especially in your own city, if these things happened, right, you'd feel some empathy for them. You'd think, boy, that's terrible what's happening to them. But the Lord is telling us we feel no empathy for the destruction, the judgment of the kingdom of Satan, right? So what we're going to see here are descriptions that are symbolic of her destruction and the exposing in her judgment. It'll be the Lord exposes, we see behind the veil, if you will, and just see her corruption and the evil that she was doing to her people is now being done to her. All right, it's now being done to her. And so just understand this is the Lord's judgment of that evil kingdom of spiritual Babylon, which he's coming to judge in the earth. All right, so I've titled this, Lady of Kingdoms, no more. Lady of Kingdoms, no more, right? And we'll begin with this exposing of Babylon through the judgments that the Lord brings. All right, so Look there in Revelation 17 before we head over to Isaiah 47. Revelation 17 in verse 1 and 2. This is speaking of the destruction of, well, it's speaking of this kingdom of Antichrist. All right, and there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, come with me. I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. All right, waters typically in Revelation speaks of peoples and nations, right? She sitteth upon many waters, over many people she has her rule and influence over, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth, right? Not just the elites and the wealthy and the mighty men, but even the common inhabitants of the earth. All those that are just have the same spirit of Antichrist and just following the doctrine of devils there, right? The inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication, right? And so what we find here is that this Lady of Kingdoms is really nothing more than a whore. She's a harlot. She's a harlot, all right? And so back in our text, the Lord is describing her judgment, her judgment. And so even though we don't know everything that's going on, right? We have some idea of things. We hear of things. Nothing ever seems to come of it, but we hear some things and we're not really sure. But when the Lord judges it, all will be made known. He'll make it all plain to all of why he's judging them and their corruption. All right, so Isaiah 47, 1, first it says, come down, come down. Now that's different than how the Lord speaks to you and me. When he was speaking to John, and for example, in John Revelation 4, 1, he says, come up hither, right? He says, come up here with me, and you're going to observe this destruction that I'm bringing upon the wicked of the earth. So he says to her, come down and sit in the dust, O virgin, daughter of Babylon. All right, so he's mocking her. He's mocking her because her name there is virgin, daughter of Babylon. Right? It sounds so pure and so holy and good and righteous. Right? A virgin is an honorable thing. We honor virgins, right? We care for them. It's a precious thing there, the virgins, right? And yet here, she takes that title to herself. She thinks she's so pure and holy and righteous. And I don't want to be indiscreet, but, you know, a virgin is one who's never been overtaken by a man, right? She's never been subdued by a man or conquered, if you will. And so the sense here is that Babylon, this great kingdom, had never been conquered by another king, right? She'd never been subdued. She sat as a mighty kingdom for a long, long time. And she thought highly of herself in that role. And she was never conquered until the Lord come. You know, he sent a man in this day, in historical Babylon. She was conquered by Persia because the Lord gave them power over her, right? And in spiritual Babylon, it's gone on for thousands of years unconquered, undefeated. But the Lord himself is going to defeat spiritual Babylon. She will be conquered, all right? And so she's no virgin. She, as we see here from the description of Revelation, she's a harlot. She's a harlot, all right? And so the Lord tells her, going on in verse 1, sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. So that the Lord's saying, your rule over the kingdoms, it's going to be taken from you. It'll be removed from you. You've got no throne. Or at least that throne that's there, you're not sitting on it. You're off the throne and you're sitting in the dust. And so, you know, we see types and shadows of these things, right? We see where that head, that evil head, rears its evil head up. Once in a while, we get glimpses of it, and we see governments being tyrannical, right? We see executive orders and tyrannical things in our own land that we never thought that we would see, right? And we see things like financial systems and financial markets, largely being a complete sham, being propped up by fake money, right? Things that can collapse any day now. The letter agencies, which are set up in countries that we're told our tax dollars are to pay for our security and our protection, they seem to work against us, right? Contrary to what you would think they would be doing. The news outlets, you think, oh, free press. The press is wonderful. It's great to have a good free press. They'll tell us what's going on. And then you find out that they're just as subject to corruption as the politician, right? And they give out news that is favorable to some and unfavorable to others. And they just repeat. When they're all saying the same thing, they're just telling you a narrative, right? And it was that, what was it, that general, was it Patton? That said, if everyone in the room is thinking the same thing, then someone's not thinking. And so, you know, if they're all telling you the same exact thing and no one's allowed to say anything different, then obviously no one's thinking for themselves. They're just repeating a narrative that they're told to repeat. And you have the entertainment industries that are just a moral degradation of character and just really foul things and foul ideas. And, you know, health industries that seem to hurt more people than they do good, right? And so she thinks she's sitting so highly and so highly esteemed, right? Tender and delicate, but the Lord says, this is your own thought. Like, this is what you think of yourself, but you're not. You're not. And over in Revelation 18 again, verse 7, he says, how much she hath glorified herself. She's glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit as a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. But that's just not true. The Lord is going to judge your enemy. He's going to judge this kingdom. And she there, her throne is removed. She sits on the ground in the dust. All right, now in the second verse, back in Isaiah 47, second verse there, we see that her true character is, you know, just done peddling every false way that's there in the earth. And the way he exposes it is by pronouncing her judgments upon her. All right, so verse 2 there, the beginning, it says, take the millstones and grind meal. All right, and he's saying, you take the place of the servant. And what the Lord's saying, what he's exposing to us, is that this system of Antichrist, the whole thing, is a system of slavery. Right? It enslaves the people. It subdues the people. It entraps the people and takes them captive so that they're really not free at all. Right? They're just animals, like a donkey grinding corn around a millstone. Just they call you chattel, you know, human cattle. That's all you are to the system of Antichrist. And the Lord says, you go and you get on that millstone and you start grinding the corn. Right, you take that position. Then he says, uncover thy locks. Right, let down your hair, as it were. Right, all that primping and care that they're taking to make themselves look so pretty and so glorious, they're all going to look disheveled very soon. The Lord's going to stir them up and their hair's going to all fall out and just look a mess. Go on in verse 2. Make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers, right? And that's because when the Chaldeans were taken, they were surrounded by rivers, and as they were going off to their captors, they would have to cross through rivers, right? And they'd have to kind of lift up their clothes so they didn't get all wet, and it'd go through the rivers. But what the Lord's saying there is, you know, all that is precious, and all that's private, it's going to all come out. It's just going to fall out all over the place. It's not going to be pretty. It's all going to get exposed. Everything you've been hiding and keeping secret will all come out there, right? That's what he's saying to this kingdom. And so the Lord, he's exposing her nakedness. He's exposing her shameful ways. He's exposing the things that she kept hidden in the darkness, right? It's a kingdom full of evil deeds. It's a kingdom where devils dwell. It's a kingdom of every evil and hateful bird, right? It's a kingdom of every foul spirit, and she's keeping that in darkness. She doesn't want you to see it. She wants you to think that she's this super prim and proper kingdom. All right? And then he says, verse 3, "Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man." Right? And so the judgment of God is going to undo all that she was keeping hidden from her people and keeping them in captivity, right? And so she'll be stripped down of all her possessions, of all her supposed glory, of all her honor will be taken away from her. And when the Lord meets her in judgment, he tells them, "I'm not going to meet you as a man, right? I'm going to do much more than what another man in another kingdom could do coming against you. I'm going to be hitting you from every direction. You're going to be getting knocked down and knocked around and thrashed upon when the Lord brings judgment upon your enemy, brethren. This is what the Lord's going to do to your enemies." Turn over to Isaiah 24. Hold your place in Revelation. Don't lose it, but Isaiah 24. And let me go there too. You know, Isaiah 24 is a very sober chapter. You know, he's not even talking about a specific land. He says in verse 1 and 2, he says, "Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof." And notice how it covers every person in this system, every person in this system which stands opposed to your God, your Christ, and to you that believe him. "It shall be as with the people, so with the priest," right? The religious and the non-religious and the religious leaders, right? "As with the servant, so with the master, as with the maid, so with her mistress," right? Rich and poor. They're all going to, everyone in that kingdom will be affected by this. "As with the buyer, so with the seller, as with the lender, so with the borrower, as with the taker of usury, so with the giver of usury to him." Right? All the bankers and all the people going to the banks to get loans, is everything, the whole system, everyone in it will all be dealt with in the same manner in that this kingdom of Antichrist. So he says now in verse 17 and 18, here's how we'll deal with them. "Fear in the pit and the snare are upon thee." This is Isaiah 24, 17. "And the snare are upon thee, O inhabitant of the earth. And it shall come to pass that he who fleeth from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit. And he that cometh out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snare. For the windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth do shake." Right? It's like a bookend closing. When the Lord was talking about the judgment of the flood in Noah's day, it said first the fountains of the deep opened and exploded up high, high into the atmosphere. Way up there, I believe, way up there. Right? And they have pictures of it. I think it's a moon of Saturn. They show once in a while they have geysers out there that explode, I don't know, hundreds of miles up into the atmosphere. They go high, way up there like that. That's what happened here. The fountains of the deep exploded open. So all that water there in the mantle came out. And then it rained as well upon the earth. Right? The heavens then opened and it rained upon the earth. And now here in this text, the Lord says the windows on high are open and the foundations of the earth do shake. As if it's just closing it out. It went from the foundations to the sky, to the sky, to the foundations. He's just closing it up, and that's going to be the end, right? When he rains down fire and burns up this earth, all right? So what he's showing here, though, is that the people that are getting out of one thing, you know, escaping from one thing and falling into the next, he's showing now he's just beating them with many stripes upon them, right? They're getting it from every direction. It's coming upon them all at once, right? He describes these people as them which destroy the earth. And so he's going to destroy them. It speaks to their policies. It speaks to their ways. It speaks to their laws and how they treat their people. He's going to destroy our enemy. He's going to take care of it, right? We may never see them come to justice the way we think they should be when they're found guilty, but the Lord everything. He knows everything, and he will mete out perfect justice to them, and they shall be dealt with perfectly. All right, and it speaks, you know, of these, of the end times. It speaks of, it says, men's hearts failing them for fear of looking after those things which are coming upon the earth. They're going to be troubled, greatly troubled, and they've got a lot to fear. Right? They worry about global warming. The only global warming they got to worry about is when the Lord rains fire down upon them and burns the whole earth and the heaven up. All right, so many blows. Now we read in Revelation 18:8, it describes it this way. Therefore, Revelation 18:8. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. All right, and so understand the Lord saying, I'm going to strike you with such force that I'm not going to send another man to do it, because he'll meet you as a man, and it'll only be so much. I'm going to meet you not as a man. I'm going to meet you as God in judgment and deal with you. All right, and that's what he's saying to your enemies, brethren. You that hope in Christ, that's what he's saying. So her destruction, it shall be severe. She shall be brought down. She shall be brought lo, God's going to judge her and all her people. All right, so now we come to the rejoicing of the brethren, because the brethren are going to rejoice over the Lord's destruction of her enemy. They rejoice over this. If you're still there in Revelation 18, our Lord says regarding the judgment of our enemies, verse 20, he says, rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. All right, now 19:2, Revelation 19:2. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, who did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. All right, and so now if you go back to our text in Isaiah 47, verse 4, we see this rejoicing described here, where the prophet writes, as for our Redeemer, he says, Isaiah 47, 4, as for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. You ever notice how, you know, spiritual Israel, you brethren that believe on Christ, they're always seen and described as rejoicing over their redemption, right? You always see this celebration of our redemption, right? In Revelation 5, verses 9 through 10, what do we read there? It says, they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy, speaking to the Lamb, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us. And there's our redemption. Thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests. We're going to rule with our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Right? The whore no more will reign. He takes her kingdom from her, and you that hope in Christ, you shall reign with your Lord upon the earth. All right, and so we see that redemption, and we celebrate that. We rejoice in our redemption, because what it speaks to is our purchase, our deliverance. What you see there being described that's coming against this system of Antichrist and the inhabitants of the earth that stand opposed to your God and your Christ and your brethren and you, right? When you see that destruction coming upon them, that's what you've been redeemed from. That's not your punishment. That's coming upon the wicked. That's coming upon those whom your God and Savior has redeemed you out of and delivered you from that damnation and delivered you from all those strikes and strokes and blows that are coming against them, right? And that terror and horror, all that, the Lord has delivered you from it. It also gives us a sense or an idea of what our Savior bore in our place, because that means he bore that for you. He took your place, and he bore that for you. He bore those strikes. He bore that punishment, our punishment, in himself for your sins, brethren. That's what he delivered you from, and that's why we rejoice, because, wow, Lord, you're coming against our enemies, and also that's what you delivered me from. You took me out of that, so that I don't have to face that. I'm not going to face that. I'm delivered from that. And that's what the Lord is showing us. But when he judges them, they'll be utterly destroyed. And you've been saved from that by your Lord and your Savior. All right. So we understand. I'm worthy of that. My sins would have justly condemned me before God. Yet he sent his Son in love and in faithfulness to fulfill all that covenant requirement for me. He engaged to save me, a sinner, his enemy, one who rebelled against him, yet he had mercy upon me. So when you see that her destruction, this destruction, don't you tremble that believe in Christ. Rejoice, be glad, because he's taking care of you. All right? And so our God, he sent this gospel of peace, right? Just as she's stripped, he sent this gospel to us in peace, to strip us of our hope and trust in this world, to expose the evil of our own hearts, the evil of this flesh, the corruption of this flesh, the evil and the corruption in the world, that we might know him who did this for us, right? Ephesians 5:13 says, but all things that are reproved, and we've been reproved by his gospel, he's shown us that which he despises and hates, right? All things that are reproved are made manifest by the light of his gospel. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. And that's what the gospel does. He's manifested what we are and what he has done to deliver us from the just condemnation and wrath of God, and reveal to us what he has done for us, brethren. All right? And if you read Ephesians 5, for time's sake, I won't really get into it, but you see there where he's telling you, brethren, don't be partakers with them. He's coming to destroy them. Don't you be partakers with them. You come out of them. Right? Don't be asleep. Wake up. You see the things that are going on, and the persecutions and the trouble that's now unfolding before us. I'm not saying it's the end of the world. It might be, but I'm not saying that's what it is, because what do I know? The Lord could strike such a blow against them to set them and their evil plans back 200 years, right? I don't know. He may do that. But even if it is the end, he promises to take care of us. And so all these things that we're seeing and recognizing by the spirit of wisdom and revelation, it's to cause us to wake up, that we not be partakers with them, to come out from them, that we not be destroyed with them, right? We're more like Lot in a lot of ways. We're a lot like Lot. But it says when Lot lingered, like we would do, every one of us, the angels, they took him by the hand and they brought him out of that city, and then the Lord destroyed it. And so it may be hard for some to see it, but what you see going on is to show you, don't be partakers with them. Don't be partakers. Pray and seek the Lord and trust him to provide for you. All right? And so he's telling us, come out of their ways, right? Not geographically, physically, right? Depending on where you were, if it was the end, geographically, physically, may dictate what types of persecutions you face or don't face, right? It may. I don't know. But we come out of just believing wholeheartedly that this system is right and true and good and the only way. We serve a holy God who loves his people and is providing for his people. So verse 5 there, he says, now we'll close here, verse 5 in Isaiah 47, he says to our enemy, sit thou silent and get thee into darkness, right? Outer darkness, hell. O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called the Lady of Nations. All right, and so your God, he's delivered you from that deception. He's delivered you from the captivity. And he unmasks us from those grave clothes that keep us trusting and being willing partakers in that whole system. He's delivering you from it. So whatever comes in the days ahead, trust the Lord. Be faithful to him. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, Peter says. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, whatever it may be that you're called to endure. But you have a glorious inheritance. Right? They can only kill the body, but they can't kill the soul. And you have a glorious inheritance. You trust him. Believe him. Stay upon him. He's faithful and true, and he shall keep his word. He already has. He's provided his son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins. And this punishment described here upon this wicked kingdom. So she's the Lady of Kingdoms no more. All right, I pray the Lord bless that word to you.